The Variety Artist, Episode 9. This one is all about LA's top family entertainment agency. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to this podcast on your phone or mobile device. It really helps me a lot. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. They're offering you, The Variety Artist, a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at thevarietyartist.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Just go to thevarietyartist.com/book right after this podcast and get your free audiobook. Now let's start the show.
Welcome to The Variety Artist, providing aspiring artists and entertainers with in-depth discussions from top performers from all over the world. So get ready to book some gigs, make some money, and have some fun with your host, John Abrams.
Our guest this week is the owner of CharmandHappy.com. She does balloon art, face painting, puppet shows, clowning, and so much more. But her company is most famous for the giant pink singing telegram gorilla. Using her unique and hilarious marketing, she's become the top family event planning agency in Los Angeles. Variety Artist, I give you Carmen Tellez.
Hello, hello, hello.
What's going on, Carmen?
Well, you know how it goes. Right before summertime, you get all those picnic calls and singing telegram calls.
I have to tell this story because the first time I was introduced to you, Carmen, is I did an outdoor show. I just did my regular magic show, and it goes fine and everything. And I get home, and I get a phone call. And I say, hello, Animal Magic. The person on the other line says, hi, this is Carmen Tellez. I saw your show today. And I'm like, oh, great. Did you enjoy it? And you said, yeah, it was really fun. I love how you have the canned laughter in your show. And I said, I don't have any canned laughter. And and you say, oh, but that canned laughter was great. And I said, but I don't have canned laughter. It's just regular music in my show. And you said, yeah, I realize it's regular music, but I love how you played the canned laughter after every one of your jokes. I said, oh, there is no canned laughter. That was real laughter. So that was my introduction to you.
Sounds like something I would do or think.
So we're going to go through all of your agency stuff and all of that, but tell me about your home life a little bit. What's it like at the Carmen Tellez household?
Oh, it looks like a circus gone wrong, or maybe a circus getting ready to start or finish, one or the other. I have a puppet stage at my front door so that when I'm ready to go, it's there and I don't have to go through the garage. In the back, in the garage, I've got my sumo suits hanging out. So when I open the garage, I can just grab my sumo suits. It's hey, it's better than paying for storage, right? I got the space.
So does it look like a meat locker back there?
Pretty much, yeah.
If someone were to walk in, they'd be like, oh my goodness, what is that hanging up there?
Yep.
Yep. So you have a puppet stage in your front yard? Does that roll
out?
No,
in my front, I have like a foyer in my front, at my front door. So it's like, it's not just opening to my house. It's like a foyer. So right there, I have my puppet show. I've got my balloon bag. I have some storage of other balloons so I can just grab whatever I need at the door and go. But if you walk in, you'll see my puppet stage like you're just about to sit into a little mini theater.
Does that roll out?
It comes in pieces. So I have it on poles. It sets like on balloon poles type of a deal. Yeah. And then it's made out of PVC with the drop cloth that comes over with like little decorations on it. So it's a standing puppet show. So somebody can get behind it, get inside, and say somebody was to come in, I can scare him with a puppet.
We're scaring with a puppet, then the meat locker.
Yes. Yes.
I hope the police don't show up to your door one day.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah.
So did you start out doing this, the agency, or did you start out by yourself?
Oh, I started out as a helper. I used to work at a print shop as a graphic artist. So one of their customers, who was also one of their family friends, saw that I did graphic arts, and he was a clown himself. I did not like clowns. I still kind of don't like clowns, but you know, I understand it now. But he asked me if I would face paint at a party with him since I do graphic arts. I said, I'm not a face painter. I said, and I don't like clowns.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, but you already know me. There's nothing to be afraid of. And I'm like, nah, thanks anyways, though. He said, but I already booked it, and I don't want to disappoint the kids. I was like, oh, dang it, the kids. Oh, man.
Got you in the heart.
Yes, he stinking did. So I was like, okay, what do I do? So he said, I can get the face paints. And I'm like, okay. I figured, you know, it's no harder than drawing or coloring, only there's a big difference between coloring and drawing on a flat piece of paper than there is on a wiggly, sweaty, dirty-faced kid. Sure. But I had a good time, and the kids did too. He was not the kind of clown that I liked, or since I didn't like any at all anyways, I actually went to the library after that. I was like, oh my God, what the heck? I actually went to the library and checked out a video on how to be a clown so that I could help him.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I talked to him about it. I said, I saw this video by Ringling Brothers with the master clown Frosty Little and blah, blah, blah.
Of course, that was before YouTube and everything you
can get on your computer. There was no YouTube. There was no online. There was nothing. There was just those big old heavy 99-cent a minute phones back then.
Oh, yeah.
So I started helping him, and, you know, he appreciated the help. A couple, I'd say a good few, 7-8 months later, he stopped doing it. I get a phone call asking for the payasita, which means clown in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, how did you get my phone number? I'm not the one that does it. Ego does that. How did you get my phone number? He goes, Hakuna Matata. And this was the first time I even heard this. I didn't realize it was from a cartoon at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Hakuna Matata, you're the one that I wanted. I'm like, me? He had saw me helping him at another party.
Oh.
And she said, he tells me that the other guy's not doing it anymore. I'm like, oh, whoa. I didn't even know how to drive back then. I didn't have a driver's license. I was 21 years old. I was afraid to drive. I was cool with the bus and walking. I actually took driving lessons, got my license just in time, got me a car to go do that first party.
For the first gig.
Yes. I didn't even know how to drive on freeways.
Wow, and that's in the middle of LA?
No, this particular one happened to be all the way in Santa Fe Springs. Coincidentally, at the time, I lived in Pico Rivera on a street called Claymore, while he happened to have his party on a street called Claymore, but in Santa Fe Springs. And that was my first party by myself. And then the next one was in Stanton, and I thought Stanton was so far. I mean, I'd never really expanded to, you know, going anywhere by myself like that, just to work and back and that's it, other than driving, you know, with friends or whatever.
And you just got your driver's license,
I just
right?
got my driver's license, yes. And I did it ever since then, since that first party, for years and years and years, up until just a couple of years ago, I was booked every single weekend.
Wow. For those of you that don't know the Los Angeles area, the places that she's talking about are 10, 15 miles away from where you started, right?
Yes. And that's actually how I learned how to read a Thomas guidebook, which for those of you who don't know, is the old GPS, but in book form.
Yep. And we used to have something called a Thomas guide, which was a big book of maps, basically.
Yep.
So each page was a particular area of your place that you were going. So we had one, I used them too. I had one for LA County, one for Orange County, and one for the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
So, and that's how we got around back then.
Yep. I learned how to use that right after I got on the freeway for the very first time from a party in Bell Gardens. I got on the 710, and I didn't know that the freeway doesn't like take you to where you need to go.
Yeah, it stops.
Yeah. And so the 710 going north to Pico Rivera takes you sort of into LA if you take the 5, because I knew I was somewhere off the 5. So I took north. I didn't know my north and south back then either. I took north and ended up off of Cherry Street, which is downtown LA. And it was late at night, and I had my little sister with me, and I had an 82 Buick Regal. Two-tone metallic, so it kind of looked like, you know, sort of gangster back then.
Yeah.
So here's these two little clowns at a gas station, and I had to choose either talking to some cholos or a homeless person that was just kind of kicking it by the wall to ask how to get home. Both cholos told me two different ways. I chose the way of the cuter one. And that's the one that got me home.
There's a lesson. The cute cholo is the one to follow.
Not all the time. So I got home and my mom bought me a cell phone and my dad showed me how to read a Thomas guide.
How long did you do it by yourself?
I only really started doing it by myself the last few years, because right on, my little sister, she was 9 years old. She was the original Happy of Charm and Happy.
Oh.
She jumped right in and she was just so good with the people. She well behaved. She did the face painting. She would sometimes take my little magic tricks and, you know, do the walk around entertainment. And then when I went to go do the magic tricks, me not knowing she already did, they said, "Oh, the little clown already showed us." I'm like, "Oh." And she was collecting herself little tips.
A little entrepreneur.
Yes. So she ended up getting married a few years back and having kids. She now has like 5 or 6 kids. I haven't really counted them. She's got a lot. Like my other sister, she's got 8. She's married and she does her own thing and stuck me to be charm and happy.
Boy, that's a pretty full play for a 9-year-old. 5 kids.
Oh, yeah. She took it all the way into just a few years ago when she started her own family.
Okay.
Oh, you're funny.
Glad you let that marinate for a minute.
Yeah, I got it.
Now, when did you start the agency? When did you start doing it with people and have sumo suits and puppet shows? And
I started that right away, too. See, when you work at the print shop, at the print shop that I worked at was Sir Speedy Printing. There's only so much that you do in-house, but there's so much to printing. There's name tags, there's balloon printing, there's forms, there's what's called bindery, where you complete the printing process either in book format or other formats, stuff that you don't do in an actual print shop if it's a small print shop. So you outsource it. And when you outsource it, you mark it up, because the outsource company gives you an industry rate, and then you mark it up so that you can make a profit for providing the service to your customer. So the very first time that somebody contacted me was, I was at a park, and it was actually like a little competition. This gal named Dyrene, her and her clown boyfriend at the time were at a party just maybe 100 feet away from us. And so I bring out the parachute and she takes out the parachute, and I'm kind of like checking out what she's doing, and she's like checking out what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, no. So I had the kids laugh. I said, laugh really loud, because I wanted it to look like our party was having more fun. So I'm telling the kids, I'm like whispering, laugh really loud, and I'll give you guys a prize afterwards. So they're laughing. I'm like, oh, and I'm clapping my hands. I'm like, clap your hands. I'm like, yay. And I can hear her trying to, you know, get her stuff going. So afterwards, she came to me and she says, "Hi, I'm Noodle, and I'm Doodle, and this is my boyfriend Noodle, and together we're Noodle and Doodle. And do you ever hire other clowns?" And I'm like, "No." But right away, the wheels in my brain were spinning like,
of course.
And she said, "Oh, because we work for this company, Abba Azad," and she said, "How much?" I said, "Well, how much do you charge?" So she told me, and I'm like, at the time it was $35.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, $35 an hour. I said, no, I can't pay you that. She goes, "Oh, but it includes both of us." I said, "I can't pay you that because that's too little bit." I said, "I'll pay you $50. I'll pay you $50.
Yeah.
And because back then I was only charging $75 an hour.
Was that like 1809 or what?
Yeah.
What year was that?
1994, the year of Kuna Matata. And so I started, because I did get enough calls where I had to turn down calls, and even just back then, my first year. So I checked out what she did, and we kind of had an idea and an agreement of being able to offer to our customers something similar so that they knew what they were getting and took their, got their pictures, and me working at a print shop, of course I personalized it. And when she did parties, it was my phone number, but she passed out her information. She didn't want the business end of it. So I ended up getting different people, pony people, puppy people. They'd come to me and I was like, okay, I don't have nobody asking for it, but I'll put it on my flyers and my business cards. And I was just kept getting calls for it. And eventually went to my website.
So every time you got a call, you'd add something to your repertoire?
Yeah. Even if I didn't offer it, I'd put it on there. As long as I had the information, I needed to know that I can contact whoever I needed to contact. I needed to know that how to find out if they're available. Because to me, if they were booked on a regular basis, it made no sense to advertise it or offer it if they're just never available. I needed to know that the price was going to be right for me to also make a profit, but not gouge the customer. You know, like if they were to call around, you know, what's the going rate? So I sort of did all that, that background checking just to make sure that it's going to work for whatever it was that, that I was offering, and it had to make sense in the party business.
That makes complete sense.
Yeah. Just like with the print shop, you know, you take the order for this, for that, and you take the information, you mark down how much you have to pay, who to contact, where to pick it up, where to deliver it, and you're on.
That's so smart. So you used your prior life in the print shop and you used that model as your agency model, right?
Yes. And then when it came down to the marketing part, we used to do, there was a print shop, another print shop that I worked at that was a real estate marketing company, and real estate agents sure do love to market themselves.
That's right.
I took pointers from them, you know, putting their picture on the flyer and the amenities, which were my features. So the amenities of a home were the features of my party. Going door to door and putting, sending out postcards to listing and sold. So I'd put out postcards, a party in your neighborhood coming soon, but I didn't say the address or the name. It's just basically be on the lookout for the white van with the taped on 11 by 8.5 flyers to the van, because at the time we didn't have no car wraps. So I laminated and I taped my flyers on my van.
Perfect.
That was my car wrap.
So you drove around town and with your car wrap, or your Carmen Celeste car wrap?
Well, I had ended up selling the Regal, Buick Regal, because it looked, you know, gangster, even though I liked it. I should have just kept it. And I got me a big white van, and I put clown stuff on it. Later on, I got vinyl letters. But before I got the vinyl letters, it was the Charm and Happy. No, back then it was Clowns for All. It was Charm and Happy's Clowns for All. So I didn't even have the company named Charm and Happy. It was called Clowns for All at the time. I never thought about possibly just being hired as an artist. Matter of fact, when somebody asked, the first time somebody asked for a professional balloon artist, because when they've asked for balloon art, hey, I just did the animal balloons, right?
Sure.
But like somebody asked for a professional balloon artist, and I'm like, oh shoot, my heart started to pound. What's a professional balloon artist? And I asked this guy at the time, his name was, I believe his name was Matt Love. He was a stilt walker. Mm-hmm. And he said that he did balloons, but when he's not available or when he has customers that want professional balloon art, he refers a guy named Don Caldwell, who was
Buster Balloon.
Yeah. Yep. So I contacted him and his price was right. And the balloons, the only balloons that I did before finding out about him was just dogs and hearts and flowers, pretty swords, pretty much that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
I contacted him and I hired him for several professional balloon jobs. And then one day he wasn't available and I had already booked the job. I'm like, oh,
real quick, you got the right person, because anybody listening to this that doesn't know Buster Balloon, he's one of the best balloon twisters in the entire world. Not only Los Angeles.
Yes. So I went to my balloon company that where I got the balloons, and I asked them if they can lead me in the right direction to learn how to do it, because I didn't know anyone else. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about asking for a referral from him to anybody else. I just knew he said he was booked. I'm like, ugh. So they led me to a shelf that had videos. And the instructors was Don Caldwell at the time, Buster Balloon. I'm like, that's the guy I hire. He's an instructor. Oh my gosh. So I bought the videos and I learned how to do it. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm doing professional balloons.
So now you're clowning, you're doing professional balloons.
Yes. Yes. And then where the singing telegrams came along, I mean, I heard about conventions and I started going to conventions, you know, mostly clown conventions at this time. There was no face painting conventions at the time. And later on, I heard about the balloon conventions. But I got a phone call one day from, it was either 1-800-FLOWERS or Flowers USA, something like that. Mm-hmm. They called me and asked me if I can do a singing telegram as a clown. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't sing. I wish I did, but I don't. I'm so sorry. And they said, but you're a clown, right? And I said, yeah, but I'm not a singing clown. Uh-huh. And they said, well, all you have to do is just sing happy birthday to the recipient. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm taking the information. The guy was like 30 years old. I'm like, 30 years old? No. Clowns aren't for 30-year-olds. And she's like, no, it's like a prank singing telegram. Prank?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so and she offered, it was like $85 for 5 minutes. I'm like,
you're like, I'll take that.
At the time, you know? So, but I wanted to give the guy the person's money's worth. So I took my parachute, I took my tickle tunnel, I did a magic trick, I dressed him up in a hat, and I'm trying to cram this all in 5 minutes. So I had him sit on the parachute, and his employees, it was at his job, his employee friends were waving the parachute, and then I did like a magic trick with the message that came out, and I put a hat on him, we took pictures, and I was like, whew, that was a lot of work. But, you know, for 5 minutes, I'm trying to make it entertaining. And then I learned later what, you know, she had told me that was a lot. That was good, but that was a lot. But all you really have to do is just kind of dance and sing and give them a balloon. I'm like, that's it. But I still make it entertaining anyways. To me, singing happy birthday doesn't make it memorable. And even just doing a little dance doesn't make it memorable. You know, getting some information about them, a nickname, maybe even teasing a little bit with the pet peeve, finding out what their favorite character is or their dream job, stuff like that makes it more memorable, even if it's just 5 minutes.
And so then the prep actually takes a lot longer than the actual performance.
Yeah, it does, because for me, if they're hiring me, they know that my prep isn't going to be la, 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 la. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more how to make it fun and how to get those facial expressions for them. What can I do to make them laugh at me? And even though it's for them so that other people can kind of laugh at them, but I want the person who's receiving more to laugh at me, but feel fun and happy that they got the singing telegram.
Right, and they're the star of the show.
Yeah.
How did that giant pink gorilla come around?
Well, one day I was asked for one.
You were just asked for someone? Wait. Yeah. So someone had the imagination of saying, hey, do you have a giant pink singing gorilla?
No, it was one of the 1-800 flower companies that asked me, and I said no, but I did have a couple of like mascot characters at the time, so I offered those, and I offered a bear, and I offered a mouse at the time, and they said no, that we really want a pink gorilla. So I looked online to see, was it online at that time? Yeah, it was, because the website stuff started to come out about right about then. I found a company in San Diego that had basically costumes. I didn't even know that you can go to a costume shop anywhere and get, you know, stuff like that, the black gorilla that you can get now in these days. Yeah. But I found the place in San Diego that had a pink gorilla. At the time, it was only $85. And I ordered it in time to do the singing telegram. And I fell in love with using the pink gorilla. It was just different. I the pink gorilla is my favorite.
People love that pink gorilla, right?
Yes. I mean, even celebrities, people that Harry Connick Jr., he's one of them. He got the pink gorilla. Aside from a few other celebrities, but yeah, they it's like cuddly, it's cute, it's happy, it's singing, it's dancing, you know, it's adorable.
It's crazy. You know, when you see that pink gorilla coming towards you, you know something's up.
Oh, yeah. But you know that you don't have to be afraid either. And yeah. It's not like, I mean, the pink gorilla just says happy birthday.
Especially a pink gorilla with balloons.
Yes. And even on St. Patrick's Day, because you know, my pink gorilla is the pinkest leprechaun there is.
Oh, that's great.
In the world, the pinkest leprechaun in the world is how I dub it.
When I look at your website, and one of your strengths is the marketing of that website and of all the different things that you do. Tell me about, well, my favorite piece of your marketing. I don't know if I should give this away or not. But I did see this on your Facebook the other day, or maybe a month ago, when you asked for a deposit.
Okay.
You said $1 million in $1
bills. Oh, yes.
Or a $100 deposit.
Yes. Yes. I throw a little fun darts here and there just to make them giggle or think like, what? I do stuff like that with my customers, potential customers, callers. Yeah. I'll say, $1 million, all cash, $20 unmarked bills, please, or $100 down.
That's perfect. I know a lot of people are real formal with their requests with a new client. They're scared to ruffle feathers, but it sounds like it's much more fun just to jump in and be crazy with them.
I do. And there's been a couple of times where it kind of didn't work out so great when I first started that. I didn't realize at the time when I first started, even though I was still getting orders, I don't even remember how I came to a point where I stopped, but I used to answer the phone. Hello, Charmin. Happy. This is Carmen. How can I help you? Oh, yes, we do face painting. And it's like, I don't know how I stopped. I think I just got irritated with it my own self, or maybe somebody told me. I don't remember. But then it's like, oh, you know what? You do need to sound professional, because you need to sound like you're trusted.
Right.
But that's why I say I just throw like little humorous things here and there, whether it's on the phone with them or an email or in text or a photo that I send.
And answering the phone like that sounds like a kid's show.
Right.
And it kind of pigeonholes you into a kid's show thing. Whereas if you're slightly more professional and less kid-like, you know, you open yourself to kids, adults, celebs, et cetera.
That's true. That is absolutely true. They need to be able to trust you. And not that they can't trust a kids entertainer, but I think that most people who are looking for quality entertainment want to know that you can handle entertaining their adult parties, their company events, their employees. They want to know that you're not just going to be talking all the whole time.
Right. Being all like little kid.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right, for an adult show.
Right.
Right. I was looking at all your videos, and you have some videos that it seems like they've been on there for a very long time. I love all your videos. You have old ones and you have new ones. It seems like you were maybe one of the first people to put videos on your website.
I probably was. And I can tell you like maybe 100% that I was probably the only one at the time before I took it off that also had a picture of an old person clown with the red circle and a slash like Ghostbusters that said guaranteed no crusty old clowns here. I didn't realize at the time that I was upsetting anybody. Huh. I was just letting my customers know, because I'd had customers at the time that would call me and really ask, you know, how old is the clown? Because they've had an experience where the clown was a little grumpy or a little older, wasn't energetic. So I used to use, you know, clowns with personality, no grumpy old clowns here.
Perfect.
And then elderly clown group called me and let me know that was inappropriate and they didn't like it. I wasn't trying to hurt anybody, so I respectfully took it down, but still kept the, you know, clowns with personality, energetic, and then cute clowns came along. So there you see, I mean, I don't know if you see them now because I really haven't checked the clown world lately. It's been so long since I've done, you know, clowning on a regular basis. I do more entertainment than I do just clowning and clown. For a good while, there was these cute clowns, which was great. But the same thing, I'd get calls from customers like, oh, yeah, we had this pretty clown, but she wasn't funny.
Oh.
Or we had this pretty clown, but, you know, she didn't tell jokes, or she just sat there and face painted. So that, in my mind, told me, you know, okay, I can be a cute clown, but still funny. So I focused on being funny, being entertaining, focused on getting them involved, getting the kids doing something and, you know, going around to the adults and even making them laugh by telling the guys that they looked like my ex. And then I proved it by showing them a picture of my ex, which was a piece of paper with a Sharpie marked X. Ruffling some feathers with the girl that they were with, like, oh really? It's like, yeah, you look like my ex.
Oh yeah,
you want to see a picture? Bring it out. There you go. And then they laugh and they look at each other, because you know that girl's thinking, oh, she's gonna have a talk with him afterwards for looking like the ex. Oh, how long ago did you meet him?
That's perfect. So they ask you back again and again, because I've been to many, many parties where I see a clown face painting, period. So when you're entertaining and fun and silly and goofy and just have fun with the people, they ask you back again and again.
Yes, yes. And that's what, you know what? I call myself an artist entertainer, because you can get cheaper face painters. You can even get cheaper clowns. You can get cheaper balloon artists, even though I know my prices are a little bit lower than, like, say, Buster Balloon, but, you know, mm-hmm. I don't do that kind of show anyways. So I believe my prices are fair for what I do. But I always let my customers know, even when they say, oh my gosh, you cost this much. Well, I called so-and-so and it cost this much. I say, okay, well, if you want someone that's just, you know, going to face paint, yes, she does great face painting. But if you're wanting entertainment, then I'll be happy to provide it for you. I don't just sit there and face paint. I interact. I get up a little bit, you know, after a little while, and I'll even do just, you know, a quick little juggling routine and say, well, you know, what color is your favorite color? You know, red, you like Spider-Man, and do like a little bit of just like a little routine. Mm-hmm. I'll bring out the feathers and balance them, even though they're just hiring me for face painting or just balloon art. But I want them to remember something. I want them to know that they had fun, not just waited in line.
Right. In the magic world, we go through the same thing. I'll get a call that they'll say, what do you charge? And I'll tell them my price, and they'll say, oh, but so-and-so in your area does it for $150 cheaper. And I'll be like, well, go with them.
Yeah.
That's great, because I know they'll be calling me 6 months later.
And that has happened too, yep. Where they had me, but then they wanted somebody cheaper the next year, and then they call me. And, you know, some parents are okay with getting the less priced one, even though it's less quality. I started putting on my business cards, and then I took it off because I thought it was too cocky. But for a good while, I started putting on my business cards, when good just isn't good enough. You know, right. CharmandHappy.com, when good enough just isn't good enough. I got this call a few years back. A man, he was upset with me. He had me the year before. He really didn't like paying the price, but he hired me anyways. I was a referral from someone else. So he hired me, and I send out happy birthday postcards to my repeat clients. Actually, even if somebody doesn't hire me, but I have their address, I'll send them a card anyways, just so that they have the information. So I sent a postcard to it was a little girl, and it was an East LA party. So I get a call. He sounds upset. He's like, yeah, I want to hire Charm and Happy. He's like, oh, cool. You know, have you hired us before? Is there something that you like or didn't like? What have you, as the conversation's going around. He goes, yeah, I didn't want to hire you. I'm like, you didn't want to? Well, you don't have to.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, but I got a postcard in the mail and my daughter saw, and she's like, oh, we're getting Charm the Clown again. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. He's like, so, you know, I had to hire you again. So he never hired me again after that. It was two and done. But I was just so honored that he hired me, even though he didn't want to hire me, because I sent a postcard and that little girl said, oh, we're getting Charm the Clown. Thank you, Daddy.
It's like the happy meal of clowning.
Yeah.
Market. Yes. You send to market, and they the kid sees your thing and they love it.
Yes.
I saw on your website all sorts of, I think they're probably Yelp testimonials. Is that right?
They're a mixture. They're a mixture of Yelp testimonies as well as emails that I've gotten from customers, or even texts that I've gotten from customers.
I always suggest that Yelp is a perfect testimonial machine, because after your gig, you can send them a link to Yelp, and people are used to putting reviews on Yelp, and then you can use them for your website.
Yeah, and I just copy and paste them, because Yelp has a dirty habit of hiding testimonies. So I'm like, Well, they can hide them there, but I'm going to put them on my website.
that's exactly what I do. I do the exact same thing. I have, 40 or 50 good reviews. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they put the one bad one on the top, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's what they do. And so I do the exact same thing. I'll go to the archive section where it says, these are not recommended reviews.
Yeah.
And I'll copy and paste those.
That's exactly what I did.
So you built your business by whatever phone call you particularly got. Yes. What about the sumo thing? I love those things.
Okay. So how did the sumos come about? I think it was for a company. Oh, because I used to offer jumpers. I had my own two little jumpers. They were ball pits that I offered for like toddlers only. Oh my gosh. Even those are hard to take care of. But back in the days when jumpers first came out, they were like $150 to $300 a day. It was before all this $50 a day stuff started. Right. So back then, well, I had an agreement with this jumper company.
Wait, back up. What's this $50 a day thing?
Well, because these days you can get jumpers for only $50 for the day.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So back then they were like between $150 to $300 for the day for the same jumpers that are now like $50 for the day.
Okay.
And those were just for the basic ones back then. So I had an agreement with this jumper company because I would get calls for the clowning. Then they'd ask, oh, do you know anyone that has a jumper? Or do you have a jumper? Or do you have tables? Do you have chairs? And at the time I didn't have all that. And I eventually got it and then I sold it again. It's just a lot of work. But while the time that I was accepting orders for jumpers, there was a time where then interactive games started coming in where they'd get a Velcro wall, a rock climber, stuff like that. So I was getting these from these companies. And then I started looking into how much they cost and what the maintenance are on these. And I wasn't interested in the maintenance. I've always kind of done things on my own, even though I have people that work with me who I hire out. But as far as all the office work, the background work, the cleaning, the setting up, I've always done it on myself. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to do that kind of work of cleaning jumpers, inflating them and all that. But I did get a call for sumos. And the sumos that they specifically wanted were not the inflatable costume kind. They wanted the padded kind. And they didn't want the mat that you can jump in or the wrestling ring that you can jump in. They wanted the wrestling pad. So like, I just like in that second I thought, well, that doesn't have to be inflated. That's mostly just storage and set up and deliver. I can do that in my mind. So I bought a set.
Okay.
And I started renting it out. That set, including delivery and all that, cost me at that time, they're way cheaper now, but at that time they were like $4,000.
Oh my.
But I didn't have to inflate it and all that. All I had to do was just basically wipe it down, clean it and disinfect it, wipe it down, clean it and deliver it, pick it up. And that was it. It fit in my van that I had at the time. With that $4,000 investment, I made that back like 4 times the first year I had them, and I still have that set. So that's back in maybe 96 or 97 that I got that set, and it's now 2018.
So over 20 years, you've had that same set.
Yes, sir.
And it's made its money back.
And I've sewed it. I've patched it. I've repainted the nipples. I've got a new set of helmets.
Never thought you'd say that on a podcast, did you?
You know, I didn't think about it, but oh my gosh. Well, because they faded out and I wanted them to look so fresh and so clean.
There's nothing worse than nipples fading out. Do I have to change the rating on this podcast?
Yeah, please.
Now, in the beginning of each of your videos, there is the Charm and Happy symbol. And
yes.
then one of my very favorite things whenever I watch one of your videos is the little giggle at the beginning.
Yes.
How did that come about?
I just thought it would bring the thought of like, oh, kids are having fun.
It is so sweet. Is that you giggling or who is that?
It is one of those sound bites that you get on like 1,000 signs, 1,000 sounds. So there's like bird sounds and train sounds. There's laugh sounds. There's clapping sounds. You know, like when I first met you.
Oh, yeah. It's that canned laughter I put in my show.
Yes, right. I added it to my song. Now, I liked it that much.
If you can just put the canned laughter in your videos with some giggling.
That's right.
We'll be set. Now, what do you think of the trends in contacting? Now, it used to be, I know when both of us started, it was just call now, yes. Right? That was it. That was the only thing someone could do. And now we have email, Facebook, Twitter, texting. What do you think?
It can get time consuming, trying to, because you don't funnel it all in one spot. I like the old, you know, just call and that's it. But at the same time, I really like the texting. I know that there's companies, professional companies that do not do texting because it is not professional to them. So I have companies that just call, as far as, you know, my company, Picnic customers. And then I have the birthday people, and then I have people just pricing. But for me, even though texting seems unprofessional to the professional company, right, it really works for me, because I can be at an event and just receive a text and just answer real quick in between a balloon or in between a face painting when I'm able to, or at a break time, or pull over real fast while I'm driving, but still listen to my music and not have to answer 1,000 questions, because most people aren't going to ask 1,000 questions in text. But if they have the time and phone, if they're that kind of person, they will ask 1,000 questions, like, how long are your eyelashes? You know, what size shoe do you wear? What color is your belt? I mean, ask Brian Potvin, because that's his pet peeve. If he gets a customer with a lot of questions, he just hands them over to me.
Brian Poppin?
Brian Potvin, the Belusionist.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I know who that is.
Yes.
Brian Potvin.
Yes, that's his pet peeve when a customer asks a lot of questions.
See, I like both, because if someone calls you, they actually get a little taste of your personality.
Yes.
And it's easier to sell them that way. On text, you're right, very short messages. It is the future. It is the now.
Yes, but I send them a video. I send them video links. So I send them even if they're just calling for information, I recap. Or texting for information, I don't just give them a price. I actually do like a little introduction without it being too long. You know, thank you for calling charmandhappy.com for a balloon artist, and I recap what the price is. That way it's like notes to me also. And then I send them an image of a sample of what I can provide for them, because you know they're calling, if they're texting, you know that they're just calling around pretty much anyways, or texting around. So that way they can get a visual of what they want to compare. And if they like what they see and can afford what they see, they either have it for future reference for a referral, or they're talking about it to somebody else, but they have something to look at along with the video link.
So you text them the video link?
I sure do.
That's smart. Because most of the other people are just texting back, yeah, here's my price.
Yep, that's it.
Here's what you get.
Yep.
As opposed to actually seeing a video of it. That's great. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
I'm going to steal that.
Go for it.
At the bottom of everyone, it says, Carmen told me to do this.
That's right. Royalties.
Yeah. Now, you're working with The Wacko Show?
Oh, I've been working with him for years. I've known that puppy since he was 14 years old, just about.
Is that right?
Right when I started. Yeah, we started. We met each other at a group that formed by a guy at the time. His clown name was Yo-Yo, and his girlfriend Yo-Yo. I can't remember his real name. But they wanted to make friends with other clowns and have like referrals for each other and grow together and learn together. We had monthly meetings, and it was called at the time the Latin Clowny Town. And a matter of fact, that's where I met Joy also, Joy the Clown.
Oh, yeah.
Joy Payne. I met her there too. So a lot of us, most of us who knew each other and met each other and worked with each other back then. We even did parades together. We did some church events together. We are still in pretty much good contact, and like we love each other. And usually my love has to be earned. They did. They learned. They earned it. We still love each other. So when I met Wacko, he was performing magic and clowning at the same time, but his strength was always magic. And along the years, with my having a stronger hold on the business end of it, the phone calls, the taking the confirmations, the deposits, and he's just always really enjoyed more of the performing side of it.
Yeah, he's great. By the way, anybody who doesn't know who Wacko is, Wacko is a terrific magician. He's hilarious, and he's killing it on social media too.
And he has his heart into it. That's why, same thing with him. He's not just up there standing there like, look what I can do. Look into my eyes. A bird appeared. Now it's gone. He's not one of those kind of magicians. He's the kind that, too, wants the audience. He wants everyone in his audience to have fun, to feel something, to look at what he's doing and be excited and enjoy what they're doing. And he's got that, and he shows it in his show. When I first started hiring him, it was just through me, through Charm and Happy. And then he just kind of spinned out and became his own The Wacko Show. And so now I take orders for him. So he has customers that directly contact him. He sends me the information and I just book it for him.
Oh, that's great. And you get a commission for his?
Yes.
Him booking it?
Of course, yes. I'm an outside service and so is he.
What a deal.
Yes, it works like a charm.
It works like a charm and happy.
Yes.
Now, what other kind of sneaky, we talked about sneaky marketing do you do? Or that you can say on this podcast?
Okay, here's one. I have sent, with my insurance, I have sent added named insurances to certain companies that I wanted to do work with. Companies that I know have done events or picnics. I keep
right.
an eye
a lot,
on.
A lot of folks, I do a lot of school assemblies, and a lot of folks ask for an additional an additional certificate, insurance certificate, naming them as the additional insured.
Yes. So I send them to certain companies, and then I follow up with my information. One, it gives the illusion that they've done work with me before.
Oh.
And they already have my information on file, and I send the W-9 and everything, just like it looks like I've already been there. And I've actually had people that have called me for another event when it was just my first event.
Oh.
And I just go along with it. Oh, remind me again what you would like. Well, I don't have that information on file. Would you like it for 2 hours or for 4 hours? No problem. I'll send you a confirmation. Who do I send it to?
Perfect. So wait, you're sending the insurance writer to somebody you've never done business before with?
Yes. Yes. Oh. I'm sending my additional named insured. I put their name, or I even get corrections where they'll cause, I've received this, your insurance of liability, but it's to the wrong address. It needs to go to the corporate address. Oh, no problem. Let me change that for you.
That's so smart. I'm stealing that too.
Another thing that I've done, well, this is back when I was more nationwide. I used to be nationwide before I had my son, and I still am, but I don't physically go and do it, and I don't get that many calls anymore since everyone and their mom and grandma and dog has their own website and Instagram now. Yeah. Back then, it was just, you know, you had banner ads, and only a few people had a website or even email at the time. Yeah. So I'd get calls from all over the states, and I had what was called a nationwide, I think it was an international, actually, clown registry, because I'm a member of the World Clown Association and the new Calliope. And so once a year, you would get a book that has all these clown contact information, their address and their name and their phone number. Mm-hmm. So I would get a call from, say, Texas for a puppet show. So I just looked in my directory and see who was closest to there, call them up, ask them if they did puppet shows or what they could do to offer if they didn't do puppet shows. They'd mail me, snail mail, their picture and what they do. And this is back then when you were taking an order, can take a process of 1 to 2 weeks before they decided to actually book it.
Yeah.
As opposed to now where it's one day. So that's how I started off with that. But back when I was nationwide, if I was going, it was mostly when I went to conventions or if I was doing an event that I was hired for, I would find out what the nearest preschools were and the nearest chain type restaurants were. And I would contact them and tell them that I was going to be in town, Charm and Happy was going to be in town, and I can perform, I can send them a poster that was personalized because, you know, I have the printing background. Right. So I would send them a personalized poster saying that I can be at their location at their family night or as a special guest at their preschool on such and such date, such and such time, around my other event that I have going on. And if they knew some another preschool or if they had another restaurant location, then I can give them a discount. So when I was in town doing one event, I would piggyback and do these other events that were being sort of marketed to the public, either the preschools. Preschools were much easier to market to than elementaries or anything like that back then. Right. So they would put up the poster, the flyers. I'd provide permission slips for the face painting part of it if they had face painting. Mm-hmm. That one, it gave the parents my information. And two, you know, they knew that there was going to be face painting there in case anyone had any allergic reactions. But that was part of my little marketing plan. So if I was going to be in town to do something, then I wanted to piggyback and get like a couple of other little gigs while I was in town.
Oh, yeah, that's smart. I do the same thing. Right now, I'm starting to book my Northern California tour. And what happens is if I get a phone call from a particular district, I will contact everybody in that district, every school in that district, and try to book schools around that on the same day or the next day.
And that's smart. You just bring it in, bring in more.
Yeah. So instead of doing one show, you're doing 12, 13.
Right, right.
Right. And man, and making it worth your while.
Yes, yes. Now, back before I learned about, you know, better marketing, even though I had the influence from the real estate agents, I don't know if I made this up. I don't think I got it from someone else, but I would go to Target and to Walmart, mm-hmm. and I would put my business cards into little kids' shoe boxes of the dress shoes, because my thinking was if parents are buying dress shoes, they're either going to a party or, you know, a funeral, but how many kids really go to funerals? They're mostly going to a party.
Yeah.
So I put my business cards in little kids' dress shoes at Walmart and Target, which isn't an effective way of marketing, but I thought it was smart at the time.
Did you ever get in trouble for that?
I didn't get in trouble, but I did get told to stop. So I stopped. One of the ladies at Walmart, I was just going in, and so I switched gears. I didn't do that because I thought, okay, maybe that's too sneaky. So I started going to newspaper stands, mm-hmm. and putting in a quarter, taking, and it was only on Sundays because the Sundays had the funnies back then.
Yeah.
I take all the newspapers out and I'd put my flyer in all the funny sections and then put all the newspapers back, including the one that I bought. That way they can make the extra quarter.
Oh, very smart.
And then I started doing that at pediatrics doctor shops. I'd go into doctor's offices. And you know how they have like the little magazines and stuff? I'd put like little game sheets on the table with my information on it. Stuff like that.
Are you still doing that?
I've thought about it. I really don't. Now I just send my information to more like to companies. I really, really enjoy putting together company events. So I'll send my information to companies, and what I'll do with them is I'll provide them with the company picnic flyer. So I'll ask them if there's a theme, if there's anyone that's going to be a special guest, anything like that. And I put all that information together along with, you know, come to the company picnic, charmandhappy.com is going to be there with some little highlight photos. And I send that for them to send to their employees with their company picnic invitation or information. That way my information is already going to all the employees. It's in their newsletter. If they have a newsletter, it goes to the employees' emails. And then if it's the type of company that doesn't have that, but they have a lunchroom or a board, then my information can go there instead.
That's perfect. And do you have some sort of a template that you just use?
I put it all together. As long as it's got the date, the time, my photos, my logo, their logo, some information about it. I don't use a template. I like to do it all different all the time for the most part.
So each of them has an individual one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, you've given away so much stuff. I'm not going to ask you to give away anymore because I'm already stealing a bunch of stuff you're doing. And I'm sure anybody listening to this is going to steal a bunch of that stuff too. So we'll get into our fan questions.
Alrighty.
Every time I have a new interview, I put on my Facebook that you can ask me to ask questions of the person that I'm interviewing. And so you had what I think is an excellent question. I know you answered it online, but there are a lot of people that listen to this podcast that aren't on my Facebook yet. I don't know why, but they aren't. They should be. So Eddie Rice Jr., who's an actor clown out of LA and owner of A1 Best Events, asked, how does she get around copyrighted characters? Because I know you rent out a number of characters. Many have been sued by Disney and others for mascots at parties. What do you think?
I don't market them. If I get the calls for something and I'm able to provide it, then I will. Otherwise, I'll refer it to someone else, but I don't market them. And I do have a golden bear on my website as the Singing Telegrams, but it's not Winnie the Pooh. It is a golden bear. But even if you were to take that to court and a kid was supposed to say that that's Winnie the Pooh, you can probably technically still get sued for it. But I don't market it as Winnie the Pooh. He's not dressed as Winnie the Pooh. So I stay away from that. I mostly try to create characters based on if their theme. So say they wanted a Minnie Mouse. Yep. I have a Minnie Mouse version of a clown. So I have a clown mouse. So I actually wear the full clown makeup. I wear the clown shoes. You know, I have a red and white polka dot dress, but I am a clown. Same thing even with the princesses. Well, I started all that princess clown stuff, by the way. There's princess clowns now, but I started all that back in the days where they wanted a princess. Well, I offered you can get a real princess for this amount of money, or you can order the clown princess for this amount of money. But with the clown princess, you get this style of face painting and this style of balloons, which is not the same style that you're going to get from someone that's just a professional lookalike. The professional lookalike specialize in looking like the character. I specialize in the art and the entertainment, but using the theme of the princess as my costuming. You know, the real princesses, they all have long dresses. Yeah. Well, this clown had short dresses. So I had the cute little short dresses with the bloomers, but they all matched the princesses that they wanted as a clown.
And the clowns actually do something. I've been to a lot of parties where they have princesses and lookalikes, and they show up and they look alike, and they do their little song, and they take a bow, and they go, oh, isn't this sweet? And then they leave.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, and they post for photos. So yeah, mine was very more on the entertainer side.
So once again, they're asking you back again and again.
Yes.
Because you were actually entertaining.
Yes. Well, that's what they really want. I mean, if they want, you know, to just take pictures, then that's great. But if they want at a birthday party, who wants to just stand around and look? Unless you're Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Katy Perry had asked for a couple of, well, not her, but her people had asked if we can take our petting zoo and if she can crash some of the parties of some customers. And they did it with a couple of other agencies too. She actually crashed the party to do this video of hers called, it's a music video called Happy Birthday. It's a song, Happy Birthday. Mm-hmm. So she dressed up like a clown. She dressed up like a princess. She dressed up like a bat mitzvah DJ type of a guy.
Yeah.
She dressed up like a singing telegram stripper for an old folks home. So she had all these, you know, birthday style costumes that she crashed all these parties. And by the way, if you ever look up that video, Happy Birthday by Katy Perry, those are all actual real parties. Those were not staged. Those were real parties.
Interesting.
Yes. So if you see my animals and my little mice and the goats and all that, those are from Charm and Happy. And so she crashed those parties. And so the kids, at first everyone was like, oh my gosh, you know, because Katy Perry was painting brown blotches on a little girl that at the party for the bat mitzvah or the bar mitzvah, whatever it was. She was like, oh, yeah, you know, instead of being like a real DJ. And they're just looking at her like, what the heck? But once they found out it was her, even though she didn't have these talents of a birthday party style entertainment, they was like, oh, it's Katy Perry. Ah! And then all of a sudden, the brown blotchy face paint didn't matter. But when you're hired as a princess in the real world and you don't know how to face paint or balloon art or entertain, then that's all you can do. So I do focus on the entertainment.
That makes sense. And you're not Katy Perry.
And I'm not Katy Perry. That's right, because I can face paint and do balloons.
And I'm not Katy Perry either. I'm going to put that video on my website so people can see that.
Oh, okay.
So they can just click on it. Now, yep. Tell us, do you have any horror stories, things that happened that you're just like, oh my gosh, what happened?
Yes, I'll tell you one in particular. I mean, there's a couple over the years. I've been doing it a long time, so they kind of, you know, add up. But I'll tell you one in particular. I'll tell you two. So one of them was, I was at a party in a neighborhood that would say be questionable.
Okay.
But I wasn't afraid, so I went. It didn't matter to me. I did lots of parties there. Well, the problem was, one of the teenage boys wanted to know my race.
Oh.
He asked me if I was Hispanic or another race. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I was wearing a mascot character at the time, and I told him, I'm here for fun. Because he was like, what are you? And I said, I'm here for fun.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say what I was because it just didn't sound good. He came to me. He lifted up my head, not off, but high enough where he can slam it back down on me.
Oh, my.
And it hurt. And I didn't realize how badly it hurt until I got home because it stung. He did that so hard that he actually broke my skin. The mascot character wasn't one of those plush ones. It was like a fiberglass type of a framing.
Oh no.
So he actually broke my skin and bruised it. So it was like just like a slice of blood, but not like dripping blood.
Yeah.
And he bruised it on both my shoulders.
That's no good.
No, it was not. And at that same party, when I told the lady, you can tell that there was some smoking, some funny business going on before it was legal back then. Mm-hmm. And you can just smell it. But I told the lady that, you know, I needed to go or I needed to have adult supervision back here because one of the kids, you know, did that. And so I finished up and I went to go collect. This was an agency job. And the pickup amount was $85. And she had like these long curly nails and she's flipping through the cash, a wad of cash with her long curly nails. And she said, oh no, you weren't worth no $85. I'll give you $50. So she gave me the $50. I didn't want to cause no problems because I already had a problem and that was just with the teenager. So I left, I went to my car. I called the agent and told her what happened. And she goes, oh, no. Oh, no. Now I'm going to have to give her a discount. I'm like, what? Ugh. I was like, well, you owe me $35. I can't give you $35 if I have to give her a discount. I never worked for her again.
I don't blame you. Yeah. It's horrible.
And that particular person, a few years later, when I was posting more of my events online of where I'd be and stuff like that, I'm starting to again now, but I still don't do it as much as I used to. I ended up finding her flyers on the company, on the picnic table that I was doing balloons at. And at first I didn't think nothing of it because it was just a stack of flyers, but something told me to look at it. They were hot pink. How can I not look at something that's hot pink?
Yeah.
So, you know, I looked at it and it was her information. I'm like, what? So I called her right away. It's like, why are you passing out your flyers at my party? She goes, oh no, it must have been the games booth people. So I went to the games booth people. Why are you passing out her flyers at my party when I'm the one that hired you? Like, yeah. We didn't pass them out. No, we wouldn't do that. We know you hired us. And the same thing online. She was advertising Clowns for All, but with her phone number.
Oh.
And her name is Karen and I'm Carmen and we're both 562. So I called her on
That's the name of your company at the time, right?
At the time it was Clown. Yeah. It was Charm and Happy's clownsforall.com. So I used to market Clowns for All because that's mostly what I got calls for. Who knows Charm and Happy? But then as time went by, everyone was asking for Charm and Happy. So I got a website that directed, you know, charmandhappy.com to the Clowns for All and the clowns kind of just faded out. But I ended up getting a trademark so that she can stop. I contacted Google and had Google tell me that the only way they can stop her using the Clowns for All reference, even though I didn't say clownsforall.com, but she was using it as a reference, confusing people basically with my website.
Yeah.
And her phone number that I had to get a trademark. So I got a trademark and made her stop real silly.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. So good, those are my horror stories.
Oh, those are awful. while you were telling the thing about the bear, mm-hmm. I went to a party one time years ago. I was doing a show at a party, and I do my magic show, and I finish up, and I'm cleaning up, and I go out in the front yard, and I guess Winnie the Pooh, and it was Winnie the Pooh. It wasn't a brown bear. Winnie the Pooh was following me. And so I go outside with all of my equipment, and I see Winnie the Pooh with his head off, smoking a cigarette right in front of the house. With his entire costume is on except for the head. And I was like, oh, you must be up next. And he said, yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy, if you saw that and it was one of your employees, what would you do?
Oh, out the door, off with his head, indeed. Off with his head. That's right.
Off with his real head.
Off with his head. You got it off, you keep it off, buddy.
Dang. Yeah.
No, there was a dinosaur, a Barney dinosaur, at a party one time, who was getting upset that the kids were pulling her tail. Now, I know what it feels like to get my tail pulled, because I've had it happen to me too. But this girl was getting the tail and smacking the kids with it. They were pulling her tail, and I'm like, you can't do that. She really needed a break. I took her to the bathroom and had her wait there and told the kids that, you know, Barney was hungry, needed a break, but she couldn't come back out. It's like, you can't smack the kids with your tail. I mean, even if it looks like you're playing, you're still smacking them. They're like, but they're pulling it.
It's funny to us now, but at the time.
Yeah.
So do you have a good piece of advice for our beginners out there?
Yeah, I do. It would be, other than, you know, the typical do your best and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the typical, you know, do what you believe. I would say that stand up, walk forward, even if you get complaints or what have you, and do the entertainment that feels good to you, that feels right to you, and make sure that you look into your audience's and the kids' eyes, because looking into your audience's eyes and looking into those kids' eyes is going to lead you into how to perform. If I'm talking to the beginner, mm-hmm. Looking into their eyes will lead you. It'll tell you if you're doing right or doing wrong. You'll see their facial expressions. Focus on their facial expressions. Don't focus on so much exactly what you're doing, because the whole point is you entertaining them. Focus on their expression to lead you into the right.
Yeah, that's great advice for the beginner and the guy or gal that's been doing it for a long time too.
Well, you think so?
Yeah, because we're there for our audience. That's what we're there for. We're not there. It's fun to feed our egos and to get the applause and that type of thing. But the bottom line is we're there to make them happy.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, how about the working pro then? Do you have something for the working pro, the guy that's been doing it for a long time?
Yes. Do not be a collector of apparatus.
Oh, okay.
You will end up in my house. I look at stuff every single day. It's like, why do I have all this stuff? I need to just focus on a few and be really, really good at that, and stop thinking I can use every single little tiny thing as accents to my show. Do not be a collector of apparatus.
I have a lot of magician friends, and sometimes they'll show me a picture or video of their wall, and they'll have an entire wall of magic apparatus and things. I'm like, what do you do with all that stuff?
I know.
They're like, I just have it.
I know. And some stuff is just cool to just look at and to just have. I'm going to get in the habit of just taking pictures of stuff that I like. Oh,
I'm a get rid of her. I get rid of stuff. The only thing I have left that I really don't use so much is I have the original little box that I bought, the first magic trick I ever bought.
Wow.
I still have it in my bookcase. It's holding up a number of books. But every once in a while, I look at that and I go, well, I started with that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And see, I have like boxes of balloon scraps, because I just know I can use that half of a 260 for an ear someday.
Well, you know what's helped me is moving. every time I've moved three different times over the past, I don't know, 10 years. And every time I move, I get rid of all sorts of stuff.
That's smart. I've done that too, but I usually just move my ex's stuff out, not mine.
Your ex. well, give us one book recommendation and we'll let you get going. Give us one book recommendation and tell us why.
My one is going to sound like two because it is two. One is Blue Ocean Strategy. It talks about basically being different, just over and over and over again, different companies, different examples of doing something different. The other one is Think Wrong, because I think they work hand in hand. Too many people want to do things the right way, and I have not gotten to where I've gotten by thinking right. I've always kind of thought wrong, and not because I did it on purpose, because that's just the way my brain works. And so thinking wrong, the book Think Wrong, meaning don't think the same way. There doesn't have to be a perfect executing plan to follow. Sometimes you gotta kind of wiggle out and go around the about way to find your way.
Yeah, Dan Kennedy, who's one of the famous marketers of our time, he suggests see what everybody else is doing and then do the opposite.
Right. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Well, you are awesome. Thank you so much, Carmen, for doing my podcast. Where can folks get a hold of you and Charm and Happy?
CharmandHappy.com. I'm located in SoCal. So do you mean like by phone number or?
Yeah, like phone number, email, okay. Et cetera.
All right. My SoCal phone number is 562-237-3327. My website address is charmandhappy.com. And my email address is carmen@charmandhappy.com.
Perfect. All right. And thanks to all of my Variety artists. If you found this podcast valuable, tell a friend. That's how we can spread the word. And feel free to reach me at john@thevarietyartist.com or join my Facebook group at The Variety Artist, where, of course, you can ask me to ask questions of our wonderful guests like Carmen. Or you can get a hold of me on Twitter at The Variety Artist with no T on the end because there wasn't room. Or visit my website at thevarietyartist.com, where you'll find informative blogs and all sorts of show notes from today's interview. Now go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.
That's all for this episode of The Variety Artist. But your journey continues on our website. Go to thevarietyartist.com for more strategies, insight, and resources, as well as show notes on today's guest to assist you in your career. We'll see you on the next episode of The Variety Artist. But until then, go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.